you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 14. The title of this message is When Love Grows Cold. When love grows cold. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 14. Beginning to read. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole earth as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you just open our hearts as we surrender to you. And Lord, plant in our hearts today wisdom from your word. Plant in our hearts, Lord, an expectation for your return when that time comes, Lord. May we look to the eastern sky and await your return. Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning. Not a word more and a word less. All to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are living in a time when everything is changing very rapidly. I can't even imagine. I mean, I've been on this earth now for 65 years, and I'm blown away by how much things have changed in my lifetime already. But I can't imagine what it must be like for a person that's 90 years old or in their 90s to be able to comprehend all of this. You need to understand, a person that is in their 90s now, they were alive before automobiles really started hitting the roads. I mean, there were some that had them before they were born, but they were not common. I mean, most of the people were still farming with horses. I mean, think about how much this world has changed over the last 90 years. Albeit not all for the better. Change can be a good thing, but the change we are seeing in our world is mostly not a good thing. Our culture is more and more beginning to resemble what Jesus said in our text. Signs of the end of the age. So let's break down what Jesus said in this passage. I want to look at, really break down what he said are the signs of the end of the age and weigh them according to what we see now. Wars and rumors of wars. Well, we all know that's true. Our nation is always worried about North Korea and what they're going to do. And rightly so, because that regime is full of psychopaths. Is that true? So, you should keep an eye on that. We should keep an eye on China. China is a major player in prophecy in the Battle of Armageddon. They're a major player in that. If you don't study biblical prophecy, you don't know that. But trust me, they are. Russia is also a major player in that battle. Guess what? The United States is, at that point, not even any longer mentioned as a world power. So what happened? I don't know. It doesn't tell us what happened to the U.S. But the U.S. is not in that list of nations that are world powers in the Battle of Armageddon. So what do we do with that? Well, we have to assume that something has happened to the United States by then. How many of you believe there are consequences for sin? Our nation, as a nation, has many national sins. Thank God that one of the major ones on the federal level was turned over. I'm talking about Roe v. Wade. Thank God that that was turned over on the national level. But don't give up, because it's got to be dealt with on the state level now. But that's just one of many of our national sins that brings judgment on a nation. And if you know biblical history and you understand biblical prophecy, you know that a nation that continues on the course that we are on, that it will not end well for that nation, because we see it in biblical history. So, as we look at end times, what Jesus prophesied when he talked about wars and rumors of wars, we have to look at that. We have to examine, okay? We see clearly that those things are happening. He said in verse 7, nation will rise against nation. Well, the latest war, I guess, is Russia going into Ukraine. And I don't know how much you guys have studied about that, and I'm not going to get into it. I will just suffice to say, don't be real quick to condemn Russia for that war. Don't be too quick to do that. Because there are things that have been going on in Ukraine for a number of years, things that our nation is involved in that are evil, that Russia is addressing and cleaning up. But you don't hear those things in the mainstream news. So you've got to pull back the veil and look for what's really happening. It says in verse 7, kingdom will rise against kingdom. Well, I kind of started thinking about that, and I thought, well, okay, kingdom, what's a kingdom? So I looked up in Webster's New World Dictionary what it says a kingdom is. And it said this: a kingdom is a government or country headed by a king or queen. In other words, a monarchy. Okay? It also said that a kingdom is a realm or a domain. Now we're getting somewhere. A lot of people believe a whole lot of different things, and we need to agree on the absolutes of Scripture, but beyond that, we can have different opinions about things. The absolutes of Scripture we have to agree on. That Jesus is the only way to heaven would be a major one. We have to agree on those things. But there are things that we don't necessarily have to agree on because they're not necessarily a point of salvation. Okay? But when I think about kingdoms and then I see this out of the dictionary that say it's a realm or a domain, I personally believe that heaven is not a place far away. I believe it's just a different realm. I believe that. It don't matter if you don't believe that. It's not a point of salvation. But I believe that heaven is a different realm rather than a faraway place. Pastor Wayne, why do you believe that? Well, first of all, God, throughout time, has given people a glimpse. He's opened their eyes. I have had that happen myself. He opened my eyes to see into the spirit realm. I saw a guardian angel watching over me when I was in a very tough situation in the first church that I pastored out in Comanche. I was in my office. I was in the midst of a whole bunch of suicides. I was a fairly new green pastor, and I was in so far over my head I couldn't see out. I was in my office by myself, weeping before the Lord and saying, "Lord, you gotta show me," because I felt the oppressive evil that was encroaching on everything at that point. And the Lord, I picked up my head and I saw into the spirit realm. I saw a guardian angel standing outside the doorway of my office at attention. Well, I don't think for a minute that was just a one-time thing. I believe that there are angels that are in charge of me, following around with me all the time, in a different realm. Right here, but in a different realm, so we can't see it. Am I making sense to you? That's what I believe. That's what I've come to believe over the years. What about Gehazi? Gehazi was freaked out because he saw the armies surrounded him. And Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes to see." And Gehazi said, "Oh, the armies of the Lord! Well, God didn't just put them there, they were there!" And he opened Gehazi's eyes to be able to see. Are you with me? Are you seeing what I'm saying? So God has a kingdom, and it's in a different realm than what we are in right now. I don't believe that heaven is a far-off place. It's a different realm, different domain. Satan also is in a realm. And sometimes, over the years, God has opened my eyes to see the demonic. I have went in places to pray, and he has opened my eyes to see the demonic. He has opened my eyes to see the demonic on people. He has opened my eyes to literally see demons looking back at me through people's eyes. That might freak you out. It shouldn't. The eyes are the window to the soul. One time I saw demons, multiple, looking through the eyes of a person that ended up a serial killer. I had gone home to my wife after sitting on a jury in a murder trial. And I had gone home to my wife, and I obviously could not talk about what was happening. You can't do that when you're a juror. But all I did was I went home to my wife and I said, "I saw today the most evil man I have ever seen in my life. And it was, I don't know, 2, maybe 3 months after this transpired, that that man went on a killing spree and killed 11 people. I'm telling you the truth. I saw the demons in that man when I was sitting in the jury box in a murder trial. So what I'm telling you is true. My wife will testify. You ask her. She wouldn't lie for me. I did. I went home and told her I saw the most evil man I've ever seen in my life. And at that point, he had never killed anybody. But it wasn't long. Some of you, I'm guessing, has figured out who it was. There was a lot in the news about it. And every once in a while, still in the news. Still going through trials in different states. So a government or country headed by a king or queen, a monarchy, is a kingdom. A kingdom is a realm or a domain. And then it says, any of the three great divisions into which all natural objects have been classified. This is from Webster's Dictionary. Those three are the animal kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, and the mineral kingdom. Have you noticed that that's getting all messed up these days? An impossible whopper? I am a carnivore, and when I want meat, I want meat. Don't be messing with the three different kingdoms, messing them up. I don't need a so-called president telling me, oh, you can have a real hamburger once a month if you want or something. Otherwise, we're going to abolish it because cattle belch. Do you understand how insane this is getting?
Yes.
I left it at belchy. You know the rest of it. Kingdoms are getting messed up. Those three kingdoms, the animal, the vegetable, and the mineral. It also says, finally, the spiritual realm of God. That's what Webster had to say about a kingdom. The spiritual realm of God. And then it had in parentheses, clashing with Satan's kingdom and kingdoms of men. Now, this was not a Bible dictionary. This was in the Webster's dictionary. Wasn't that like finding gold?
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, I'm sitting there in my office reading it, and I'm about to jump up and start doing a dance, you know what I'm saying? Webster got it right. He said in verse 7, famines and earthquakes in various places. The frequency of earthquakes around the world is increasing at an exponential rate. Brother Larry Anderson follows that. He's very interested in the seismic activity. And he sends me stuff quite often. And I'm telling you, from the stuff he sends me, there are more and more earthquakes all the time. And there are famines. I have pastors in Africa writing me all the time and begging if we might have a couple of coins in our pocket to send them. And see, we can't do that because we have no avenue to do that. And our IRS, if we send money over there as a church, determines that to be money laundering. And you can go to prison for it. So you have to have an avenue where it's going, and you have to have a paper trail. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because of legalities, it makes my heart sink. That being said, after being to Africa several times and in several different nations there, and having connection with several different pastors there, I think many times third world countries can get too dependent on the U.S.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? But people are starving. Not just talking about Ethiopia. There is great hunger. Many of the nations in Africa are still locked down from COVID. Those people have not been able to go to a job and work in over 2 years. It's insanity. All to protect people from a sickness that you have over a 99% chance of surviving. And for that, you starve your people to death. Is it insanity or what? So famines and earthquakes in various places. In verse 8, he said, all these are the beginning of birth pains. So he didn't say, I'm knocking at the door, here I come. He said, these are the beginning of birth pains. Do you know now why when I talk about end times, I tell you that I believe we are going to go through some stuff before Christ returns for his bride. I believe it's going to get tough. Oh, there's pastors that will argue with me. Oh, no, God will allow you to... Whatever, you believe what you want. I personally think because people are so messed up, people are going to have to go through some hard stuff so that they turn back to God. My opinion. Because we can see right now, even after going through some hard stuff with COVID and all that has gone on, there are still less and less people in the United States that are attending church regularly. In spite of all that, people feel they need God less and less all the time. And that's the wrong direction. It's why we have a responsibility to get out there and talk to anybody that'll listen about Jesus. Well, let's look at what our scripture has to say about the signs of the end of the age that affect us on a personal level. Verse 9. Then you will be handed over to be... Did you hear that? Does that sound like God's just going to rescue us before we go in through anything tough? No, it doesn't. What did he say? Then you will be handed over to be persecuted. Persecuted involves loss of freedoms in the name of equality. Does that sound familiar? Hello? People in this nation need to wake up. We are rapidly becoming a third world country, and I've been to some third world countries, and you don't want that. Persecuted. Loss of freedoms in the name of equality. Are we there? It's abundantly clear. Second, put to death. Put to death. So I would say that we should not approach it with an escapist mentality. Now you need to understand something. I know that there is a difference between the judgment of God and the wrath of God. The wrath of God is horrible. And I do believe 100% that God is going to take His bride out. He's going to take His church out before the full wrath of God is unleashed. I do believe that. But you don't know how hard it can get under the judgment of God, because the judgment of God is sent to make people turn back to Him. Judgment of God is actually an act of love. The wrath of God is a clear act of judgment that there is no turning back from. When God unleashes His wrath, there is no repentance for that nation, I'm telling you right now. See, there's the difference. So they're going to be put to death, and what that means is they're going to be martyred. What we don't realize is there are more Christian people in the world being martyred right now, this year, than ever in any year in the past. If you don't believe me, go to Google Voice of the Martyrs and get you some reading in. They've got all of the information documented. Voice of the Martyrs. But, see, we're in our little bubble and we don't think about this. We've got preachers that are preaching messages instead of messages of repentance. They're preaching messages of get your best life now. You know who I'm talking about. His daddy is spinning in the grave because his daddy was a preacher. Boy, it gets quiet in here when I talk about that stuff. Also, it says, thirdly, you will be hated by all nations because of me. We are hated because of the remnant that we have in this nation of believers. Thank God we have a remnant. Amen? But we are also hated because we are professing to be a Christian nation, but have allowed and are allowing all kinds of things that are evil to be condoned by our federal government. And that is the biggest reason that these Islamic regimes hate this nation. Because we're not true to what we profess. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did you know that the Islamic world calls the United States of America Big Satan and Israel Little Satan? Did you know that? I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. They refer to us as the big Satan and Israel as the little Satan. They've got it twisted. Says at that time many will turn from the faith. In verse 10, it says, at that time many will turn from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Don't we see that in our culture? Pay attention where you go. I don't see very many happy people anymore. It's like everywhere you go, there are so many people that are just angry. You go out to eat, you got a pretty good chance of somewhere along the way getting a waitress that she's not feeling the joy of the Lord, shall we say. You know what I'm talking about? And then I get tempted to leave a quarter tip, you know? I don't! I'm saying I get tempted. It's up to God to deal with that person, not me.
The owners are the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wherever you shop or wherever you eat when you go out to eat, the rule of thumb, see, I spent a lot of years in retail. I worked a lot of retail. I ran my own business for 16 years. It was a retail business. And I'm just telling you, one, the golden rule of retail used to be the customer is always right. I'm telling you the truth. Well, that got thrown out the window. Most of the time, if you let them know there's a problem with something, you're belittled. Now, what's your problem? I like my food cooked. If that's a problem, I can stop being a patron here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Betrayal is rampant. Betrayal is absolutely rampant. We've got a real problem with loyalty in our nation. I'll just break it down to our nation. I don't know if it's that way all over the world. Probably is. But in our nation, we've got a real problem with loyalty. Even in friendships. The big problem is lack of loyalty in marriage. Big problem. Children, disloyal to their parents. Loyalty is a big problem. People say a lot of things, but most of the people that make commitments, it only turns out to be lip service. You know, it really grates on me. I'm a type A personality, and if I tell somebody I'm going to do something, I'm going to do the best I can to do it. What really frustrates me is if someone tells me they're going to do something and they don't do it. If you don't want to do it when I ask you, just tell me no. I'm fine with that. You know, I'm okay with that. Okay, you don't want to do that, that's fine. But don't tell me you're going to do it and then it never gets done. You understand what I'm saying? Loyalty. Lack of loyalty, one of the symptoms of lack of loyalty as well when it comes to the church, is when you have people that church hop about every year or two. Those people that do that are loyal to no one and accountable to no one. It takes 2 years, roughly, the rule of thumb is 2 years, for a pastor to be able to get to the place in people's lives when they come into the church to where there's a pastoring relationship. The rule of thumb is 2 years. When people hop churches every 2 years, then that never happens. But see, some people like that because they don't want accountability. When the pastor starts getting known too well and starts seeing the flaws, it's time to go. Am I making sense? pastors that jump from church to church to church. I got staying power. Been here 19 years, guys, and I'm not planning on leaving. At that time, they will turn from the faith and will betray and hate each other. See, they may still go to church, but have turned from true faith. There are a lot of people that attend church regularly, but in their heart, they're not right with God. And it's sad. So that's why I try to obey God and preach the messages that He prompts me to preach, because those are like arrows. Right? It says false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Do you see it? It's happening in our world. You've got to be wise who you follow. The extreme grace message. The extreme grace message says only that God is loving. Judgment is never mentioned. Hell isn't mentioned. Only heaven and love. And that is surely part of the message, but it is not the whole message. And when people only get one part of the message all the time, it produces imbalanced believers. We need the whole book. No, I'm not going to preach the whole book this morning. Part of it. There's also the movement in our world that no more need of holiness messages. I don't know if you realize that, but there are very few preachers anymore that preach holiness messages. Well, this pastor will always preach holiness messages because I need them. I need reminded that God said, "Be you holy, for I am holy." And He hasn't changed His mind about that. The whole woke agenda, the woke churches, it's a deception. Absolute deception to erode people in their faith, get them off course. Verse 12, the increase of wickedness will cause the love of many to grow cold. Obviously, that's where the message title came from. I can say plainly, that I see the love of many growing cold in our culture. Thank God for those people that are true believers and have the Holy Spirit alive and well in them. And the fruit of the Spirit is there, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Thank God for those people. They are the true army of God. Galatians 5:19 through 21 says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And we need reminded of this. Sexual immorality of every kind, not just homosexual immorality, any kind of sexual immorality, including LGBTQ and however many numbers and letters are after that. I can't keep up with it anymore. I just invoked the name of Jesus. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, in other words, people with agenda, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now listen to this. Paul says to the church in Galatia and to us, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, those that practice that lifestyle, whatever of those things apply, those that continue to live in that lifestyle, make a practice of it. It's not talking about those that are warring against it and once in a while would slip up. You understand what I'm saying? But those that embrace sin and continue to allow some or any of those in their lives will not go to God's kingdom. Do you think, just in light of that, do you think we need a continued holiness challenge being preached from the pulpits in this world? It's a loving thing to preach that holiness message. It's not a judgmental thing. It's a cry to people, repent and turn from your wicked ways because Christ is returning for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Second Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5 says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Stop in there for a minute. There will be terrible times in the last days. What was I just talking to you about 20 minutes ago? About what I believe. Body of Christ is going to go through some stuff to bring purification. It's not all cake and ice cream with a cherry on top. But God goes through it all with us if we are in Him. He carries us through whatever we have to go through. But the bride has to be prepared. The bride has to be cleansed. So, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Listen up, kids. Listen to Pastor for 5 minutes. Ungrateful, unholy. Again, you think we need a constant diet of holiness messages? Yes, we do. I do. I need reminding. Without love. Without love. Listed right in there. Without love. Unforgiving. Slanderous. You ever been slandered? That's not pleasant, is it? You understand slander is something that's spoken about you that's not true. It's the kind of thing you could sue for. Good luck with that. because you can't find a holy judge anymore. Without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Here's the key. Have nothing to do with people that live that way. Have nothing to do with them. What does that do to the equality message that's being preached? God has otherwise to say. God's word says, come out from among them. Right? Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I know I'm a little bit over. We're almost done. Hang in there with me. Go get your food pretty soon. Don't go after one of them impossible whoppers, man. That's crossing up the kingdom. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. For the wide gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. See, what's that saying is, Jesus said, the majority of people are going to go on the wide road. That's sad. But he told us. He said, but small. Small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. If you are here today and you are a bona fide, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, sealed with His Holy Spirit and led by His Spirit, then you are part of the small group. And verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You realize with technology that we have today, this is very, very close to being a reality. There are very few people in the world now that have not heard the gospel. Very few. Because of the technology that we have today. It kind of blew my mind when I was over in Africa and we went out into the villages and even out in the villages, if no one else did, okay, but the chief would have a cell phone out in the middle of nowhere. Absolutely blew my mind. They hardly had anything to eat, but the chief had a cell phone. So from my own experience, most of the people in the world are connected and have had opportunity to hear the gospel. So what I'm saying is this. Be ye holy, for He is holy. Cry out to God with all your heart. Follow after Him with all your heart. Because we don't know the day or the hour that the trumpet is going to blow and He's going to return for His bride. And I just got to level with you. I know in my knower, because of my relationship with Jesus, that I'm going when that trumpet blows. And I want every single person that is under my care as an under shepherd to go with me. I don't want anybody to miss that trip. Because it's not going to be pretty for those that are left behind. Are you ignited?
Amen.
You ready for Jesus to come back?
Yes.
If you're not, get ready. Amen. Amen. Just stand together. I'm not even going to apologize. I went 10 minutes over. I had to finish that message. Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you that you are a righteous and holy God. We thank you, Lord, that you send your judgment to turn people back to yourself. And Lord, we welcome it. Not because it's easy, but because we understand that, Lord, we have to go through some of that. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you bear us up, that you prepare our hearts for what's to come, that you bear us up as we walk through the chaos in the world today. And we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today through prophecy, through tongue and interpretation. And Lord, remind us often of what you have spoken to us. And we thank you for your word that, Lord, you gave us what we studied today out of the 24th chapter of Matthew. And we pray, Lord, that we are leaving here today built up, strengthened, Lord, by the power of your might, ready to live for you until either our life is required of us or your return comes. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We love you.